Amen. Peace of Christ be with you. Happy Monday. I hear congratulations to odd year. Is that right? Yeah. Freshman stepping it up. I like it. Friends, the word of the Lord today comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 4, beginning in verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord. But Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I've never been eloquent, neither in the past nor even now that you have spoken to your servant. But I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue. And then the Lord said to him, Who gives speech to mortals? Who makes them mute or deaf, seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what to speak. But he said, Oh, my Lord, please send someone else. This is the word of the Lord. It's a great privilege to introduce our speaker, our preacher for this morning. Daniel Camacho is a 2013 Calvin grad. Give it up for Calvin. He is a 2016 Duke Divinity grad, currently lives in New York City, where he is a contributing writer to many different journals, Christian Century, Sojourners, The Guardian. He's married. He lives in a dorm at Stony Brook currently. Yeah. And he is here to be the 2017 Hispanic Heritage Lecture, which will take place at 4 o'clock in the Boltman Center Auditorium. And his lecture is entitled Being Brown and Christian in the Age of Trump. Friends, would you please welcome Daniel Camacho.
Has anyone ever told you that you have an accent? I remember my English being so bad in kindergarten that they placed me in ESL, even though I was born here, which is hilarious. Now, I speak so much English that when I speak Spanish in Latin America or to different people, they know that I'm American. I've arrived at the place where the phrase, I'm going to pass the vacuum, makes perfect grammatical sense to me, if you think about it. So when I read that Moses told God not to send him because he was not eloquent and was slow of speech, I wonder if Moses had an accent. After all, that would make sense considering that Moses was born a Hebrew, was raised as an Egyptian, and exiled to Midian. Based on Moses' words, many commentators have speculated whether Moses had a speech impediment or a fear of public speaking. That could very well be the case. But what if Moses was also self-conscious about his broken Hebrew? Or what if he had forgotten most of his Hebrew? Or what if his Hebrew-Egyptian Spanglish was seen as a lack of eloquence? To understand why Moses was so reluctant to answer God's call in his life, we have to imagine the crisis in his identity and upbringing. But this is difficult because the story of the Exodus and Moses has become so well known in popular culture and in our churches that we think we know the story, but we forget some of the details. So when we think about Moses, I think we have to put aside Charlton Heston. You may not be old enough to remember who Charlton Heston is, but we have to put aside Charlton Heston and the Bible TV series and the Moses of Hollywood. Because I don't know, like, have you noticed somehow all the biblical characters in the movies, they end up with British accents and they look like they came straight out of Iceland, even though I don't think that's what Moses looked like or sounded like. But to understand God's call of Moses, we have to remember some details. There is no Moses without the subversive activity of the women who formed his life. There's Shiphrah and Puah, midwives of the Hebrew women who, out of reverence for God, they disobey Pharaoh's edict to kill. And of course, there's Moses' biological mother, his adopted mother, and his sister, who all work together to preserve life over and against policies of death. Like in many movements for justice and peace, these are the characters who are often forgotten in comparison to the larger-than-life male charismatic leaders. And yet, these are the figures behind the life of Moses. Behind every call, there are loved ones and mentors and prayers that make it possible. Now, according to the biblical account, Moses was raised by two mothers. His biological mother was a Hebrew who sent him away due to fear of persecution from Pharaoh. And his adopted mother was Pharaoh's daughter who found him and recognized him as a Hebrew baby. Nevertheless, Moses' sister Miriam was very clever, and she convinced Pharaoh's daughter to find a Hebrew to nurse the baby. So Moses was actually raised by his biological mother. After the nursing period, Moses is presumably raised by Pharaoh's daughter in Pharaoh's household. Now, later in life, according to the story, he kills an Egyptian who was beating a Hebrew, and after that, he flees as a convict to Midian. In Midian, he defends the daughters of Jethro at a well, who then go to their father, and they identify Moses as an Egyptian who has come to help them. Eventually, Moses marries Zipporah, one of Jethro's daughters, and he has a son and names him Gershom, which means stranger there. Now, sometime after this, God calls Moses at the burning bush and says to him, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So it's safe to say that Moses' family situation was complicated. I wonder what was going through the mind of Moses' mother. Like many mothers, she relocated her child for survival and for better chances at life. And it must have been a difficult choice for her, because she sends her child to the heart of an empire which has contributed to the oppression of her own people. What was going through the mind of Moses? He was born to a people oppressed, but raised in the heart of this empire and educated in its elite schools. What did he feel when he looked out of the windows of the royal palace and he saw the familiar faces and he heard the familiar tongue of those laying bricks for other people who barely acknowledged his humanity? What did it feel like for him to have his identity constantly questioned or confused? When Moses flees to Midian, Jethro's daughters identify him as an Egyptian. Perhaps he was very assimilated by then. Either way, Moses is certainly going through an identity crisis. He names his son Stranger there because he explains in the text, I have been a stranger residing in a foreign land. Now the place, the there, remains ambiguous. Maybe Moses felt like a stranger when he went to Midian, but maybe Moses felt like a stranger in Egypt. Maybe Moses felt like a stranger most of his life. In describing himself as a stranger, Moses uses the Hebrew word commonly used in the Bible to describe foreigners and strangers. It's the same word used in Exodus 23:9, which says, "You shall not oppress a stranger or resident alien, for you know the heart of a stranger, for you are strangers in the land of Egypt." The life of Moses reminds us that hospitality is not limited to something that we just do for people out there, but it can sometimes include ourselves, and it can include parts of ourselves that we have been denied. Sometimes we are the strangers who need to make room for all of who we are in light of all that God has created us to be. Moses was struggling with his identity. He was reluctant to accept God's call, and he gave multiple excuses. And so when he asked God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? I imagine that it was a direct question. It wasn't just like, oh, shucks, false humility. It wasn't merely a lack of confidence. Moses was literally asking God, who am I? When God calls us to be liberated, the journey always begins with understanding who you are. And it doesn't necessarily mean that there are easy answers to this question. In fact, God never provides a direct answer to Moses' question. The only thing that God tells Moses is a promise. He says, I will be with you. And that's God's promise to us. When there is confusion and pain and struggle in the question of who am I, God says, I will be with you. In many ways, Moses really speaks to those who are mixed race, to those who are adopted, to those who are immigrant, those navigating multiple cultures. I know that the story of Moses speaks very powerfully to me as a second-generation Latino, born to Colombian immigrants and raised in New York. Yet God's word here says something to all of us and to all identities. It has something to say to who you are, because God doesn't want less of who you are. God wants all of who you are. God sometimes asks you to extend some hospitality and kindness to yourself when the world rejects parts of you, because you can't run away from who you are. Moses tried to run away from that. But you can't flee from the places and people that have made you. Moses tried to flee. When God calls you, this is the place where God meets you. God meets you in the person you were created to be. God meets you in all of the people and the places that have formed you. God works through each person in a unique way. And we see in Moses that God is using his unique gifts for the uplifting of all of God's people. And may we trust and believe that God can use us and our gifts and every bit of who we are as we work for love, justice, and peace in this world. Amen. And now, may you go in peace to love and serve God and all of God's children. Amen.